Thank you. Very nice. Okay, thank you. Now, she said we did already, so it's okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okay, so we'll just start. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Chapter 7, text number 27, right? Okay, let me see if I can get it up here. Okay. That was really nice, that chanting. So it was really nice. I'm sorry I missed that also. Oh. I speak a little French, but most of...
Do you also know which chapter?
Chapitre 7. 25. 27. Sorry. Where is it possible? Okay. Yeah. Okay, I'll just go ahead with the Sanskrit. Please repeat. Icha, dvesha, samutena, icha, dvesha, samutena, dvandva, mohena, bharata, sarva, bhutani, Sammoham, Sarge, Yanti, Paramtapa, Ichadvesha Samutena, Dvandva Mohena Bharata, Sarvabhutani Sammoham, Sarge, Yanti, Paramtapa, Icha dvesha samutena, dvandva mohena bharata, sarva bhutani sammoham, sarge yanti parantapa, icha dvesha samutena, dvandva mohena bharata, sarva bhutani sammoham, Sarge yanti parantapa. Icha dvesha samutena. Dvanda mohena bharata. Sarva bhutani sammoham. Sarge yanti parantapa. Icha dvesha samutena. Vanda mohena bharata sarva bhutani samoham sarge yanti parantapa. Would you like to try? Okay, so I'll just go on. Please repeat. Icha, desire. Dvesha and hate. Samutena, arisen from. Dvandva, of duality. Mohena, by the illusion. Bharata, as kind of Bharat. Sarva, all. Bhutani, living entities. Samoham, into delusion. Sarge, while taking birth. Yanti, go. Paramtapa, our conqueror of enemies. Translation. O Skine of Bharat, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities, arisen from desire and hate. Purport. The real constitutional position of the living entity is that of subordination to the Supreme Lord, who is pure knowledge. When one is deluded into separation from this pure knowledge, he becomes controlled by the illusory energy and cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The illusory energy is manifested in the duality of desire and hate. Due to desire and hate, the ignorant person wants to become one with the Supreme Lord and envies Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pure devotees who are not deluded or contaminated by desire and hate can understand that Lord Sri Krishna appears by his internal potencies. But those who are deluded by duality and nescience think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is created by material energies. This is their misfortune. Such deluded persons symptomatically dwell in dualities of dishonor and honor, misery and happiness, woman and man, good and bad, pleasure and pain, etc. Thinking, this is my wife, this is my house, I am the master of this house, I am the husband of this wife. These are the dualities of delusion. Those who are so deluded by dualities are completely foolish and therefore cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Agyanati Manandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistang Stapitang Yena Bhutale Swayang Rupa Kadamayang Dadati Swapranantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Sri Rupang Sakrajatam Sagana Raganatam Vitang Tang Sajivam Sadvaitang Savarutam Parijana Saitang Krishna Chaitanya Devang Sri Radha Krishna Padang Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sundubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Icha dvesha smutena dvanda mohena bharata sarva bhutani samoham sarge yanti parantapa. All living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities, arisen from desire and hate. So Arjuna also mentions in the Bhagavad Gita that, or Krishna mentions that lust is the greatest enemy. And here is also lust and desire. It's kind of the same. So from lust, all these problems actually come. Well, and you could say that lust is the perverted reflection of love, because originally we had love of Krishna, Krishna Bahirmukha. We turned away from Krishna, and then this love that is original in the soul, Krishnera Nityadas, the eternal position, Jivara Swarupai, the Swarup of the Jiva, is that he is an eternal servant of Krishna. And due to our misfortune, we turned away Krishna Bahirmukha. We turned away our face from Krishna, and this love, it needs to go somewhere. So if it's not going to Krishna, then it's got to go somewhere else. And then this this pure love, it becomes contaminated into lust. And here is also said that the living entities are born into delusion. Like we say this prayer, Om Agyanati Mrandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. That our spiritual master opens our eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. So by knowledge we can come out of delusion. And then we can also see the dualities. Like Plato, he said that we need to discriminate in what is true and not true. Or the way he actually said it was what is real and what is not real. And he defined this world, the material world, as the world of change. It's constantly changing. And he defined the spiritual world as eternal or unchangeable, which is right, of course, only he had preliminary knowledge. He didn't have knowledge about Krishna, but he had some knowledge. Prabhupada called him a jnani, or rather Socrates, because basically Plato wrote everything down that Socrates was saying. Socrates was basically his guru. So, we have to discriminate in what is real and what is not real. And because we are in the material world, there is always this duality. Krishna explains, however, that everything is his energy. So ultimately, everything is connected to Krishna. However, there is different gradations. If we look at this verse, there's different gradations of ignorance. Like, for instance, trees are very much covered by the material modes of nature. They're in the mode of ignorance. And animals, they're also generally considered in the mode of ignorance. And then human beings, they're considered to be in the mode of passion. And then you have even higher beings called the demigods, and they're considered to be in the mode of goodness. So to understand this knowledge, we have to come to at least the mode of goodness. And then there is another state of being which is called sudasattva, or pure goodness. That is ultimately the state that we want to obtain, which is the spiritual platform. That is what it said here. The real constitutional position of the living entity is that of subordination to the Supreme Lord, who is pure knowledge. When one is deluded into separation from this pure knowledge, he becomes controlled by the illusory energy and cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yeah, so here it said, one is deluded into separation. So some other, Prabhupada says, we don't know exactly, although if you look, for instance, in this spiritual movement, we can also see that sometimes people, they leave. And generally this is due to offenses, or you could say due to being puffed up. Like Prabhupada says here, a living entity, the constitutional position, real constitutional position, is that he is subordinate to the Supreme Lord, Lord Sri Krishna. So if we don't have that subordination, like for instance in the army you have this word called insubordination. That means that you're not following orders. So if you're not able to follow orders, then you go into the jail, army jail. So similarly, this material world is like a jail. It's called Durga. Dur means very difficult, and ga means to go. It's very difficult to get out. Like most jails, it's very difficult to get out. And this jail is so well constructed that many people think that it's not a jail, that it's such a well-constructed place that they think it's a place for enjoyment. And they don't even know that it's a jail. The fact is, though, that it is a jail. We can't even really go from one country to the next. There's some countries, and you need a visa. If you don't have a visa, you can't enter. Similarly, you cannot just live in the ocean. If you want to live in the ocean, you need a special body, like a fish-like body, like so you can breathe inside the water. So normal human beings, they cannot do that. Furthermore, you cannot go to other planets. It's not so easy to go to another planet. And then, on top of that, you cannot go outside of this universe. Because unlike the scientists want us to believe that this universe is unending, according to the information that we have, inside information, is that this universe does end. And at the end of the universe, there is one layer with earth-like substance, and then water, and then air. And each layer is 10 times bigger. And you have so many layers: earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, ego, and it goes on. Like we discussed this morning, the last one is Mahatattva. So, you know, and every layer is 10 times bigger. So it is like an impenetrable wall of so many elements where you almost cannot go through. So that's why this material world is described as a prison house. Besides that, Krishna also described that this world is dukkhalayam asashvatam, or as the Americans say, life is tough and then you die. Duk means full of miseries, and asat means not sat. Sat means eternal, and asat means not eternal or temporary. So this life is dukkhalayam asashvatam, full of miseries and temporary. So even if you are in so much illusion that you think, I am not suffering, you might have the nice car and the nice family, then still somebody has to die. Either you have to die, or your children have to die, or your wife has to die. Somebody will die sooner or later. So there is no real enjoyment here. And the real enjoyment is spiritual enjoyment, which is eternal enjoyment. That is why this movement is the greatest benefit for human society, because we give people information how to get eternal enjoyment. That's why this movement generally doesn't make distinction between rich or poor, because we consider everybody poor if they are not Krishna conscious. And that is why we distribute prasadam, or spiritual food, to everybody. We don't make distinction of poor people or rich people, because we consider everybody poor if they're not Krishna conscious. And if they take the prasadam, the spiritual food, then they gradually become spiritualized, and they can understand this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, which, you know, like I'm trying to explain here, which tells us that we are an eternal servant of Krishna, and that we can reconnect with Krishna by, for instance, staying prasadam, but also by chanting this Maha mantra, this great mantra. Maha means great, and mantra means to deliver. Tra means to deliver, and ma or mana means mind. So mantra means to deliver the mind. You chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You just listen. And by listening and chanting, the mind gets locked in. You cannot go anywhere else. And by that, it becomes purified. Because the name Krishna, the name Hara, Hare is actually comes from Hara, or Radha, Radha Rani. Radha and Krishna, these names are spiritual. They're absolute. God is absolute. So the name of God is not different from God. So if you chant his name, you actually are experiencing Krishna, experiencing God. And in the beginning, this might not be so prevalent. You might not be so conscious of this. But the more you chant, and the more you follow this process of purification, this process of knowledge acquiring, you'll understand that these names are non-different from God, from Krishna. And you'll if you chant, you just chanted before I came, you experience, at least for myself, I can tell you that you have no more fear when you chant the mantra. You feel peaceful. And this peace, the more you chant, it will increase, that you start to feel ecstasy. And gradually you can also experience who you really are, which is eternal servant of Krishna. You can remember who you were in the spiritual world. Maybe you were a gopi, a coward girl, or a gopa, a coward boy, or maybe you were a tree or a cow. Some constitutional position that you had, but we forgot. That's why this world also sometimes is considered as a swapna or a dream. Like was explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, it's like a fata morgana, like in the desert, sometimes the animal, he goes into the desert because of the heat, he sees this oasis. And the oasis is there somewhere in the desert. It is due to the heat that this oasis is reflected. And then the deer, it gets drawn into the desert and it goes to this oasis, but it's not there. So similarly, this material world, it's temporary, and it's also a reflection from the real world, the spiritual world. So that is where our real interest is, and so we should realize that that this is actually a dream, and our real our spiritual body, it's there already. Like we are the soul, we're not this body. Soul is sitting in the heart, and it's already there, but it's just covered. Like the universe is covered by all these elements, our soul is also covered. This is also covered by earth, water, fire, air, intelligence, mind. And it needs to be, those elements need to be purified, specifically the mind. If we can just chant this mantra with the mind, then the mind will get purified, the intelligence will get purified also by coming to the classes and reading Prabhupada's books. We purify the intelligence. And then gradually we can uncover. It's like an onion. You peel it off every time you take off one peel of the onion. And gradually you can realize who you really are. Prabhupada goes on, the illusory energy is manifested in the duality of desire and hate. Yeah, so this is what I already tried to explain, that this movement is the greatest welfare for humanity, because this movement teaches us that we should rise above the dualities. Like I said, what is true and what is untrue, we should make a discrimination, and that we should rise above desire and hate. We should just be fixed in our spiritual position. Because this is what the soul does. It accepts and it rejects. And intelligence, it helps. Accept this, reject that. So once we start doing that for Krishna, we accept this for Krishna and reject that for Krishna. That is the beginning. And then if we come to the highest level, then we simply enter into a loving relationship with Krishna, and it will become natural. All we can do will be thinking of Krishna, and all we can do is serving Krishna. We will want to serve Krishna, and we will serve Krishna. And then we rise above this, you know, I like this, I don't like this. You know, in the spiritual world, and that is why we are here, everybody simply loves Krishna. And we wanted to love something else. You know, we wanted to love ourselves, or, you know, we wanted to enjoy some other person instead of, allowing Krishna to enjoy. And then you get into this duality. I like this, I don't like that. And that is not there in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, everybody desires Krishna. Everybody loves Krishna. Yeah, then Prabhupada, he explains, he says, due to desire and hate, the ignorant person wants to become one with the Supreme Lord and envies Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this envy is very deeply rooted, and we try everything to avoid surrendering to Krishna. Because surrendering to Krishna is not so easy. It's like if you have a room and it smells. To get out the smell is not so easy. So sometimes this reincarnation, karna means meat, it's a Latin word. So reincarnation means that the soul goes from one material body to the next material body. And it's described that the subtle body, it goes with the soul. the mind and the intelligence and the false ego, it travels with the soul from one body to the next. And so it is compared to like a bush, like a rose bush. So the mind, it has a certain consciousness, or the soul has a certain consciousness. And let's say it has the consciousness of a rose bush, very nice smell, so then it will go to a very nice body. But if it has a not such a nice smell, you can't just change it like that. It takes time. So it's similar with surrendering to Krishna. It is possible to do it like that, that we suddenly just get it, and we think, okay, I'm just going to surrender to Krishna. But generally we see that it takes some time for us to come to that point. It took Arjuna at least the whole Bhagavad Gita to do it. And we were reading this. Arjuna also, he didn't want to surrender. He was confused about his duty. And Krishna had to explain Bhagavad Gita to make him understand that he was a warrior, and his duty was to fight this righteous war. Because, you know, as they say in America, the bad guys, they had taken the kingdom. And Arjuna's brother, he was the righteous king. He was supposed to be the king, and he was a good king. So they tried everything to stop Duryodhan, and he didn't want to listen. So at the end, they just had to fight, because he didn't want to give them any kingdom, and so they had to fight with him. And Arjuna, he was a devotee, so he was soft-hearted by nature, so he didn't want to fight. But it was his duty, like a policeman or the government, their duty is to protect the innocent people. Like if a thief comes into your house, then the government is supposed to protect you. And if they don't do that, then they're not doing their job properly. Or for instance, the husband is supposed to protect the wife and the children. Like if a thief comes and the husband is supposed to protect them, if he doesn't do that, he's considered incapable or even crazy. So yeah, in that sense, Arjuna, he needed to protect the innocent citizens from the demoniac government of Duryodhana, which was also illegal. Like a thief, if he enters your house, it's illegal. So this envy, it is very deep, and we have to be careful. And this desire to become one with God, this is also very deep. We have to become one with the desire of Krishna, one with the desire of God. So Krishna desires, patram puspam phalam toyam, please give me a flower, some leafy vegetables, some leaves, and you offer it to me with love. So that is what Krishna wants. And so we should become one with that desire. We should try to offer Krishna the best flowers, make wonderful garlands, and offer it to Krishna. And then we become one with Krishna. We become one with Krishna's desire. But not that we can become God. God is always God. And we are tiny spiritual souls. So we can never become God. We are, like Prabhupada says in the beginning, we are subordinate. Pure devotees who are not deluded or contaminated by desire and hate can understand that Lord Sri Krishna appears by his internal potencies. But those who are deluded by duality and nescience think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is created by material energies. Yeah, so people think that when Krishna came to this planet 5,000 years ago, that he had a body like I do, like you do, like of matter, earth, water, fire, air, flesh and bones. Krishna's body, however, was made of Sat Chit Ananda. It had a vigra, a form, and this vigra, his form, was consisting of eternality, Sat, Chit, full of knowledge, and Anand, and bliss. That is the same constitution of the spirit soul. Spirit soul also consists of Sat Chit Ananda, vigra. Although with us, the spirit soul is sitting in the heart, it's very tiny, and it's covered now. But Krishna's body is completely spiritual. His whole body is like the spiritual soul, only our spiritual soul is very, very tiny. And Krishna's body is, compared to that, it's actually very, very big. So Krishna's body is completely spiritual, that we have to understand. And he's eternal. So Krishna's, he appears, like I said here, by his internal potency. And at the same time, he is there in the spiritual world. So God can do that. He can be in the spiritual world, And he can also come down here in the material world. That is the absolute nature of God. So Prabhupada says, this is their misfortune. Such deluded persons symptomatically dwell in dualities of dishonor and honor, misery and happiness, woman and man, good and bad, pleasure and pain. Yeah, so if you're in the bodily concept, then you have all these ideas. And like Prabhupada explains here, this is my wife, or this is my husband, this is my house, I'm the master of this house, I'm the husband of this wife. This is all related to the body. I'm from Holland, I'm a man, like that. This is all to do with the body, but we're not this body. We're a spirit soul. So as soon as we understand that, we understand that I am not a woman, I am not a man, I'm not good or bad, I am not really in misery or in happiness, because it's related to the body. Like sometimes people honor us, but they generally honor the body, or they dishonor us. That is also related to the body, so we don't have to be disturbed by that. Because, like I said, it's like a swapna, it's like a dream. It's just temporary. One day, like politicians, one day they're honored, and then the next day they're dishonored. So it's all the time changing. But in the spiritual world, there it is eternal. So once we are locked into that spiritual consciousness, then these things don't affect us. Like Lord Jesus, he was not really disturbed by being crucified. He was still very lucid, very conscious. He was not ordinary. So he didn't identify with his body. He was just on a mission to prove that God is all merciful, and he wasn't willing to deny his existence, which is what the Romans wanted him to do. And so he didn't do that, because he was fixed. He was fixed in that consciousness that I'm not this body, I'm a spirit soul. Actually, the same happened with Socrates. Socrates was asked to drink a poison because he was talking to the youth, and the government didn't like it. And Socrates immediately took the poison. It was a hemlock poison, because he knew I'm not his body, so it doesn't matter. So Prabhupada ends, these are the dualities of delusion. Those who are so deluded by dualities are completely foolish and therefore cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I think I'll stop there and see if there's some question. It's a very, very technical class. It's quite a high philosophy, Bhagavad Gita. Like where the Bible ends, basically that Jesus gives up his body, and that you can see he's not his body, he goes to heaven. That is where Bhagavad Gita begins. The first thing Krishna tells Arjuna, you're not this body. And then he elaborates on this. And that is where we are now. We're already in the seventh chapter. So Krishna, he explains all these intricate things. So I advise you to really study this book. And then we have more books. We have Srimad Bhagavatam also, which is filled with stories about so many devotees who attained perfection. Okay, no question? Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.